We're going to be studying courage, doing the right thing, even though it may be controversial. Yeah, it usually is. Something that requires courage is usually because it's not, whatever we're standing for, it's not accepted totally. And sometimes we're required to stand when nobody stands around us. Sometimes that's the case too. That's where you need the very courageous. Just make sure you're standing for the right thing. That's the thing. All right. Our first point is idolatry. The idolatry. We'll put the word "the" in front. The idolatry. Let's get all the 3 points down. The initiative, which will be your next point there. We'll just get the general here. The initiative. Initiative, yes. And a fancy word, the iconoclast. I'll help you spell that. How's that? I would not have a clue. The iconoclast. So it's icon, then O, and then clast, C-L-A-S-T, the iconoclast. All right, let's look at the sub-points of the idolatry. Hezekiah had a regal reputation, so that's what we'll put down for our first sub-point, a regal reputation. He was a famous king. He's compared to King David. As you look through the scripture, you see that in the books the books that talk about the kings, that they usually use David to compare to. They either say, and this king followed in all the ways of David, or this king departed from the ways of David. They use David as a reference point. When Hezekiah came along, he was one of the few kings, really, really few kings, that was, what was written about him was that he followed in all the ways of David. If you look at verse 3 here, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, that's, of course, the first thing. But then we see, according to all that David his father did. Now, David wasn't his father, as in the one that bore him, but they're talking about forefathers. David was the forefather of David. Use that word "bore" as in very loosely. I mean, his comes from David's seed. All right. And so he did all, how's that phrase? He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and broke the images and cut down the groves and broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehishtun. And to give you a little background on that, what's this brazen serpent all about? What's this burning incense to this brazen serpent? What is that all about? Well, when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, when they came out of Egypt and they were in the wilderness, they tempted the Lord 10 times. And they did the wrong thing. And one of the punishments that God put upon the Israelites, like a chastening, one of the things that he chastened the children of Israel with was he sent fiery serpents among them, and they bit the Israelites, and many of them died away. And they cried out to Moses, and then God told them to make this brazen serpent. And God told Moses to lift up this brazen serpent high, that if anybody that would look upon this brazen serpent would be healed from the bite. Now, Jesus in the New Testament said, "And I, if I be lifted up, all men will be drawn unto me." He is referring back to the Old Testament about this bronze serpent that was lifted up. And all that would look upon this bronze serpent would be saved, would be cured. So Jesus used this analogy to say, yes, if you look upon me, if you will pay attention to the cross and how that I will be lifted up on it, and you will gaze upon me and my crucifixion and realize what I've done for you, you shall be saved. And so a wonderful thing there that we have, but to realize what God has done for us in that way. But as we tend to do, we tend to turn things into idols. And this is what happened to the children of Israel. They no longer, once this brazen serpent was made, they started to take it out of its context of what it was to be used for, and they started worshiping the icon. They started worshiping the brazen serpent, and along with many other things, but this was one of the things that they had turned from good to bad, because who are we supposed to worship? That's right. Worship the Lord our God, not idols, not things. Worship the Creator, not the creation. Right? That's the temptation, is for us to always go after the created thing that we can see, that we can touch, that we can identify with, and make that an idol. God speaks against idolatry. That is what idolatry is when we take anything that is created rather than the Creator Himself. So that's how you can differentiate. What is an idol? An idol is anything that's made or created. We worship God and God only. That's one of the first commandments, is to worship Him and to worship Him alone. All right, so we have this regal reputation. Well, why did He have this regal reputation? Because in His time, He saw what was happening in Israel. He saw this idolatry and He said, no. At the age of 25, wasn't that what it said? He started to reign. And because his heart was close to the Lord, he says, this cannot continue. This will not be in my reign. This is absolutely backwards from what God has commanded. And now I'm going to stand against this, regardless of what our people and our community, our churches, let's put it into our genre, theirs would be sanctuary or synagogues. Regardless of what these people say or think, I'm going to wipe them out. I'm going to wipe the groves out. What they did also in that time is they would find a high place. That means they would go up to like a high hill in the area. It would be like a nice place, a grove. But they would turn it into a place of idolatry. They would sacrifice things there and those places. And so it says that Hezekiah wiped out those cut down those high places. He got rid of all of that in the land. So it wasn't that he just did a couple of things. He had to have a sweeping reform through the whole land. He had to move city by city. Not like it is here. Well, it's a little bit like what we have here. We have Minneapolis and St. Paul, the big cities. And then we have the suburbs. Well, they had a lot more little cities all spread out all over Israel. And you had maybe the bigger city like Jerusalem and a few other ones that were big. But there were a lot of other ones like the Bethlehems. Bethlehem was a smaller town. And he swept the land and he got rid of all of these groves. And he let his kingdom know this was unacceptable. This stuff's coming down. We're going to get rid of it all. He broke in pieces the brazen serpent, so he didn't just melt it down or whatever. He probably did it in front of everybody. Then we follow through. It says he trusted in the Lord of Israel, so that after him was none like him. Very interesting. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel. Why? So that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah. Yes, I think that's a good thing to put after this regal reputation. What made the difference between Hezekiah and the other kings? He trusted in the Lord so completely that it caused him to move. It caused him to do this great reform. All right? And then verse 6, he cleaved to the Lord. He cleaved. He clung to. He hung on to. He grabbed hold of God, and he didn't let him go. This was the heart of Hezekiah. This is what gave him this regal reputation. All right, let's move to our next point here, which is a righteous king. A righteous king. And this will be shorter, I think. A righteous king. What makes a righteous king? Not just that he does reforms, not just that he takes care of the oppressed, although that's very good. The righteous king is the one who follows the righteous God. That's what we see up here, how he clung to God. That's what made him a righteous king. How can we become upright? Do we need to start doing all sorts of good things? Well, that's good. But you won't be righteous and you won't be upright that way. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. You can't just do all these things and then become righteous and upright. It doesn't work that way. You need to get close to God. You need to rub shoulders with God. How is it that you're going to rub shoulders and cling as Hezekiah did to God? I bet Hezekiah poured through the scriptures every day, what he had. I bet he read the Psalms of David, and he probably prayed each day in his reign. That's how you get close to God. There's no substitute for that. You need to meet with God if you're going to be righteous and upright. There's no substitute. You must meet with God. That's what made him a righteous king. Now, the outpouring of that was this conviction within him. As he met with God, he saw, like Isaiah saw, I'm unclean. I'm unholy. God, you need to help me. And he cried out to the Lord. And I'm sure the Lord helped him then. You know, one of the other stories that I probably shouldn't talk too much about because it's going to be in coming weeks, and I probably will be talking about it, so it's okay. So I'll just say a little about it. Hezekiah was the king that, now I'm not going to get the name right, Sennacherib or something like that from Babylon. Sennacherib, I think that's getting close, came from Babylon. And he had been doing, he'd been taking down city after city for Babylon. And he came very boastful and said, you can't stand in front of me. I've wiped out kingdom after kingdom. I've torn down all the idols of all the other nations. And you think you're going to stand against me? Don't listen to Hezekiah, your king. Just surrender now because you're toast. This is basically what Sennacherib was saying. Hezekiah then took this letter and he went into the temple or wherever his place was. I don't remember what the language was. And he laid it down at the altar. He laid it down before the Lord and said, here, look at what this king says about you, Lord. Will you not fight the battle against this man? Truly, all these other nations and their idols were just idols. That's all they were. They were not real. But you are the true and the living God. What happened? Remember what happened in that story? One angel came by night and struck the whole camp of Sennacherib. He woke up and they were all dead. He ran back to, well, he did wake up. He didn't get wiped out. Somehow he got back to Babylon. And then I believe it was his sons or those that were in charge took his life. So he was done because he came against the Lord, his God, against the true God, Hezekiah. So we see some of what Hezekiah is about, that he didn't yield, he didn't give way to what was happening in his time. He stuck to these principles. He was very courageous. Could you imagine what kind of courage it took in that time to do that? Here is the power of the nations standing at your gate saying, you better give up or we're going to take you out. And we are undefeated. We have not been defeated yet. and what makes you think that you're going to stand? And by the way, if you trust in your Lord, we've wiped all those out too. And your God isn't going to be able to save you from me. He was a little proud. What's that say? Pride cometh before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. Sennacherib is an object lesson there. All right? So what do we have here? A regal reputation. Hezekiah had that. He was a righteous king because he clung to the righteous God with his laws. And we have a point C, which is, or point three, a return to God, a return, okay, is what I have there, a return. That's ultimately what he did about the idolatry. He got away from it. He has his standards according to his righteous God, the living God. And then he made a return. I suppose what you could also say here is he repented. He repented for the nation. He turned around and he changed his ways. It's never too late. As long as you have breath in your body, as long as you can breathe, you can repent and you can return to the Lord. Don't listen to the lie that my life has gone so terrible, so bad, there's no more hope for me. I have sinned the greatest of sins, and the Lord will not forgive me, so I'm giving up. That's the devil. That is the devil. That is the accuser speaking to you. The power of the crucifixion and the work of Christ is greater than any sin that you can sin. You believe that? I believe that. Do you think, in your pride, that your sin is greater than God's solution? No way. There's nothing you can do. As it says in the Scripture, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Right? So that's where our faith comes in. We look up at that cross in our mind and in our heart, and we trust in Him. And we say, I believe you have died for me. I believe that your work on the cross for me saved me from my sin, and I trust in you this day. That's what Christianity is all about. There's a relationship there, isn't there? When we come to this level of trusting in the Lord, there's a relationship that takes place. And the Lord comes in, and He takes His abode up in our heart, and we become His child. We become actually the brother, as it says, of Jesus. And we become a child of God so that we can cry out and say, Abba, Father. That's a term of endearment in the Hebrew. Abba, Father. That's the relationship that we need with the Lord. That was the relationship that I believe that this regal king had. This was how he was able to be righteous in his time. All right, let's move on to our second point. The initiative. The initiative. We have a sub-point of a reflection. A reflection. I'm sure, as we've already talked, that as Hezekiah realized that he was appointed or put into this position as king of Israel, that like Solomon, he had this fear in his heart. How can I serve this great nation? How can I do the right thing? Look at all the kings before me and the troubles that they've had. And now, my life is going to be judged upon how I act here for this nation. And so I believe that Hezekiah reflected, and he looked, and he probably looked at the scripture that he knew, and he looked at the history of Israel, and he saw those that prospered and those that fell, and said, I'm going to be like those that prosper. I'm going to take this leap of faith and trust the Lord and believe that this invisible hand will move all physical things in this universe to accomplish the right thing in my time. And Hezekiah then reflected. What was the next thing that he did? He removed the idols. He went into action. Removal of idols. That would be this point right there. A removal of idols. It moved him in reflecting to see what he was going to do as a king. It brought him to a place of action. I have to do something. I can't just stay here and stay in this position as I am. I have to do something. these idols have to go. And he removed the idols. All right, so he had this initiative, as it says. But the initiative didn't come without a reflection, first of all. Where the state of the king of the state of the state of Israel was at was not good. Is the state of the United States good that we live in right now? Well, I don't think so. From the righteous God's perspective, we are a land filled with idols. We are people that have stepped away from trusting in the commandments of God as a nation. I'm not speaking to you as a person, although please reflect and make that judgment yourself. But I'm talking about a nation as a nation. How important is this living God to us? That's a good question for us. Do we need to remove idols? And what are we responsible for? King Hezekiah was responsible for the nation because he was the king, right? He had a responsibility there. What's my responsibility? Well, as an elder, I should encourage you and keep speaking as I'm doing right now. Repent, please. Remove the idols. I need to blow the trumpet, as it says, and let you know, don't be doing wickedness. You need to return to your God. I need to make a sound. I need to bark, as it says. I also need to do that for my family because I'm a father. I have children. I have a household that I need to make sure they follow in the paths of righteousness. I need to remind them to not depart from what is right and what is good and what they've learned. Right? Raise a child up in the way that he should go, and he shall not depart later on from that. Right? So we have responsibility depending upon our position. We need to be careful. We need to reflect as Hezekiah did. Understand our position. Maybe we're not over anybody. Then chiefly we need to be concerned about our own life. And our life has an influence on many, 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 many people in a lifetime. I forget what the numbers are of how much influence one individual can have on the world in the lifetime that that person lives. But we have a great amount of influence. If we stand for righteousness and truth, we probably will be amazed at how much we've affected the people around us. And so that's our responsibility as individuals, is to live that righteous and that holy life, not according again to what we think, but according to what God thinks. Understand, meet with Him, understand His mind and His heart. That's the only way you can do it. You need to get to know Him. You need your heart to beat with His heart. And once you realize that your heart is beating with His heart, then you'll understand who He is and what He requires. And let me tell you, it won't be hard anymore, as John says, my commandments are not burdensome. God is interested in a relationship. He's interested in your heart. Do no less. Give Him your heart. Give Him that area that He has made in you, which is different than any other creature. Give Him your heart. All right. And then we have the iconoclast, which is our last point. You know, I haven't had a chance to look that up. I've got an outline, see? I think iconoclast, based on what we've been studying here, just means the wiping out of icons. So why don't you, looks like Ken is on it. He's going to look it up here for me. You let me know if that's the definition. He's got a fancy electronic device up here. Iconoclast, I bet it is. It means something to the effect of wiping out the idols. Iconoclast. And here are the points. Cutting down. The first subpoint is cutting down. All right. So we see that. You see that right here in the scripture. It says that Hezekiah cut them down and broke them in pieces, burned it, You know, he was very thorough, and it requires, that's what it requires with the icons, is that we need to do something. In our households, we need to do something. If we've got something that is taking our heart, if we have a treasure in something that's not right, we need to make a decision. We need to cut ourselves off from that resource or from that thing. Get rid of it. Throw it in the garbage, or cut the service to the internet on some device, or whatever it may be. We need to take an action. There needs to be a cutting that takes place. And that's the idea here, a cutting down. What does that take to do that? It takes courage, right? It takes inner strength. It takes courage for us to take a step and say, I'm going to make a decision. It also takes faith that you're going to believe that in cutting yourself off from this, that this is going to improve you. It's going to bring you closer to the Lord. Draw nigh unto Him, and He will draw nigh unto thee, it says. And then it also talks about how that we need to cleanse ourselves and repent. And that's all part of this process. Is as sinners, we need to repent. We need to come to the throne of grace again. We can't make ourselves clean, remember? We can't do that. We can't try to just start doing good works and say, I'm clean. That doesn't work. I'm sorry, that doesn't work. We have a holy God, and we're sinful innately because we're Adam's race. We have sin. So we can't somehow create something good from something bad. We need to come to God. He is our solution. He, at the throne of grace, is the one that will cleanse us, will wash us clean, will make us whiter than snow. All right? We need to have courage to do that. That's the second sub-point. And then, ultimately, what Hezekiah did, a cleaving unto the Lord. That's how we continue. How do we continue? So we do this repentance, we do this cutting down, we take this courage, and we take this step. That was good, but that's punctiliar. That's a moment in time. We did this thing. Okay, we'd be even able to put a date on it. God is not so interested in dates. He's interested in a life. So if you've done the right thing once, now you've learned how to do it, right? Now you need to exercise that, right? You can't get in shape unless you exercise. You can do some things and get in shape and do it once. And if you try to do all those things one time, you're going to hurt yourself, especially when you start getting older like me. When you're younger, you're more resilient, and your body can take all that. And my little daughter, she can like run all out, and then she falls down at the end and says, oh, I'm tired. 15 seconds later, she's up and she's doing the same sprint. I mean, it's amazing. Where does that energy come from anyway? I can't do that at my age. So the idea here is that you want to spread this lifestyle. You want this to become a lifestyle. You spread this out. This cutting down is a process. It's a continual process. It's amazing how these things come into our life. And we have to keep examining. We have to keep working at seeing, okay, is this honorable to the Lord or is this dishonorable? Well, it could be honorable this way, but it's dishonorable this way. So throw it out. You know, and we have to make those decisions. We have to be courageous. And get rid of the things that are not honorable to the Lord. And ultimately, the way we're going to be able to do that, again, is what I've been emphasizing, which I believe Hezekiah had, is you need to cleave unto the Lord, it says in the Scripture. And he cleaved unto his God. That's what we'll end with. I'll find this Scripture, and then we'll close in prayer with 2 Kings 18, verse 6, for he cleaved to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. Let's bow. Yeah, what's the definition of that?
What you're describing here is called a kind of cleansing. All right.
Ah. So he was an iconoclast. All right. So we could even say Hezekiah the iconoclast. All right. Thank you, Ken. Is that right? The one who? Oh. Ah. Yeah. Good. Good. Right. That's what we have to reflect on. That's not an easy answer. We can probably come up with a few right off, but it'll take some time for us to name them. And that's what each one of us are individually responsible for. Let's bow and pray. Lord, thank you for this regal king. He was regal not because he was self-important. He did mighty things, but ultimately the real reason that he was regal is he learned to cleave to you, and he learned to get rid of the idolatry in his time. And for that, he was called righteous like unto David. And Lord, we thank you for Hezekiah's example. Lord, help us to also learn the ways of Hezekiah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.